Welcome to Christ Community Church, where everyone is welcome. You are about to listen to our morning worship service. We pray that you experience God through this service. We invite you to come visit us at 2950 Carrollton Road in Grenada, Mississippi.
Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name.
Start the week with Kruger and see people who were hurting, who didn't feel like singing, keep on singing, pour out their hearts to the Lord. Got the opportunity to see two of the most memorable worshipers I will ever have gotten to worship with Friday night at a concert where thousands of people were there, and was talking with some people on the way up about David and how he danced unashamedly. And there were, I don't know how many people fit in that place, but there's like a bunch of them. And I could not take my eyes. There was this like teenager across the way, and that cat danced and praised the Lord. He put dance moves on there we ain't never done in Vacation Bible School. And all of that behind this was a girl who had to be about my age. I say girl. 30-year-old woman with Down syndrome, singing every word to every song with the same delight that every little kid sings when they know Jesus loves them. What do all those things have in common? What do they have in common with us? What do they have in common with David, with Kruger? Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. He has saved you. You have a song to sing. Christ is risen from the dead. We are one with him again. Church, come awake. Church, come awake.
Want to find Are we doing 90s class today?
No.
No. We will not. No. Okay. Just a few cool preliminary things. You know, sometimes there's drama that happens on Sunday morning inside the church house, you know, and I can tell you two things about it. One, it ain't never worth how much ever drama. It ain't never that bad, as dramatic as people act. Two, it ain't never nothing you ought to get mad about and distracted over either. I promise. It just happens. So you just kind of let it go. That's just a little housekeeping. Second point of something that I was going to say in preliminary. Hey, Gavin, you remember we had this box out here for you? Yeah, this is Gavin Cobb, and he's one of our U.S. soldiers, and he just came back safe and sound like we prayed. Yeah. We're glad you're here, Bubba. He got baptized in that box just like some folks who don't get baptized today, man. This is good. This is good. Isn't it? Doesn't the gambler, he looks too young to be a soldier, but man, we followed, some of y'all followed on Facebook, and we got to see him shooting artillery shells, doing all these other things, and just praying and being an influence and being... We're glad you're here, man.
Amen.
Yep, I'm glad you're here. It's exciting. Thirdly, just about the seats, God doesn't usually give me a message in kind of in visual form, but He did. And this is kind of my message today. Can you see it? I'm really a great artist. It's probably the first thing you'll notice, you know, is that my penmanship is impeccable. Y'all see that? See that? So usually I don't write a whole lot of anything, but I certainly don't just usually draw pictures. And it was so odd that I showed some folks last night, and then the suggestion came up and said, man, you know, we probably could put the seats like that. And all of a sudden it was like, yeah, it's on. Let's do it. Let's do it. And so it was just, it was wonderful. But I want to tell you just why, again, before we even get into the message. Y'all, if there's... Do you know why people get upset when you go to their church and you sit in their seat? It's because they got a religion. They got a ritual. They sit in the same place. They do the same thing. They listen to the same thing. They hear this. They listen for what they want to hear, not for necessarily what God's saying. They do it in the order that they're familiar with. And anything that shifts that formula, that magic religious formula, messes them up. Ticks them off. They didn't sing that song. They didn't sing the verse we want to do. Why they sing all those verses? Do you know why song leaders, when they call out a verse, they're going to say, we're going to sing the first, second, and fourth verse of this hymn? It's because the people of God done told them they can't sit through a whole song. If they wanted to sing all of them, they'd get upset. You know how preachers start looking nervous naturally right around noon? Most of them anyways, except for us dumb ones that don't know time. It's because the church has done told them, this is what we want, this is how it's got to be, this is our religion, this is our magic formula. And can I tell you, anything and everything the church can do to break that and say, we ain't got a religion, we got a relationship with the living God. And I don't know about you, but every relationship is living and moving and changing. You understand? It's not stuck. God wants to have a full-on living relationship with you. Not a routine that you could walk through with your eyes closed week after week. That ain't good for nobody. You know, and you might can say, well, it teaches children to have a religion, which someday God's going to have to break so that they might have a relationship with God. That ain't good for nobody. Okay. It's all I got. But that's just to say, every once in a while, you need to do something different. Just need to do something different. It's okay. It don't hurt our relationship with God, I promise. So, I'm not calling this a vision. I didn't have a vision to where God implanted in my brain or I went into some kind of trance and just started receiving holy messages. I was driving the van. We was going somewhere, man. We had a concert. We had stuff. We were doing things. And the whole time, God was putting a picture in my brain. He was just letting me see this picture. And I'm going to explain this picture to you, okay, the best I can. The picture was like walking into an arena. Kind of Keith said, man, there's an arena with thousands of people there. But the difference in this, there was a throne and then one who sat on the throne. And you just knew it was God. It couldn't have been anybody else but God. He was in the middle. And all the arena, all that area was stacked up around Him. But it was like balconies. It went up. It wasn't just broad. It went up like balcony after balcony after balcony. And it was so full, like people pushing on the edge. It was full of people everywhere. You just knew it had to be heaven. I walked in. And I remember when I walked in, just seeing that picture, I walked in and I was just looking and I'm surrounded by people. I'm going, wow, this must be heaven. But it was quiet. Wasn't nobody saying anything. It got the creeps. You ever been there? You get the weird feeling when nobody's saying nothing and you're stuck and you're looking at everybody and everybody's staring at you awkwardly like, uh-huh. So I'm going, what in the world is this? What's going on? I figured in heaven it'd be loud. I figured they'd be singing. I figured they'd be celebrating. Now this is a picture I got in my head now. This isn't, I'm not talking about how it is. I ain't go 15 minutes in heaven and all that. I ain't writing no book. I'm just telling you about the picture in my head. Surrounded, stories and stories and balcony of people. All of a sudden a mighty angel came out. He said, we're going to take a vote. We're going to vote on whether this man before us today, John Michael Goldwater Dewson, is worthy to enter heaven. We're going to vote. We're going to take testimony. And we're going to hear what you got to see if this man is worthy to enter heaven. And here's the criteria. Has this man broke the law of God? Has this man fulfilled the standard of God's glory? Has this man reached the perfection expected from him, from our Heavenly Father? Anybody have any testimony? And they started sharing. First, and everybody looked familiar. Like I didn't know everybody. Some people I knew, like by name. Some people I didn't know, but everybody seemed familiar. They started, before the vote, he called for testimony. It's like Moses rose up and said, that man is a lawbreaker. Daniel stood up and said, that man, he gives in under persecution. He's not tough. He wouldn't make it in the lion's den. He got to the apostles. The apostle Peter said, he was a pastor like I was a pastor, but he didn't feed the sheep. He was worried about feeding himself. The apostle John said, that man had love, but it wasn't unselfish love. It wasn't a God-like love. It was a love for self. James stood up and said, that man is unholy, unworthy, immoral. No way. The apostle Paul said, that guy wasn't bold. That guy didn't take his faith to the places where the gospel hadn't been preached. He just went where it was comfortable, where they invited him, where they asked for him. He didn't cross no boundaries. All of a sudden they went to another group, people from church history. Man stood up and I just knew it was Charles Spurgeon and said, that guy calls himself a preacher, but he ain't no preacher. John Wesley said, he says he's got a heart to get the gospel around the world, but he don't go nowhere but church and home, church and home. St. Francis said, he ain't never sacrificed nothing. He never sacrificed nothing. I'm sitting there going, Lord, help me. This meeting ain't turning out so good. They go to another balcony. Folks acquainted with me. Coaches, teachers, co-workers, bosses. My football coach steps up. He's a sandbagger. He never lived up to his potential. He always took the easy way. He stops when it hurts. He don't play through. He don't have the win or die in the attempt mentality. He's always cutting up and talking in class. All the teachers said, amen. Even had my doctors there. My doctor stood up and they said, non-compliant. Gone. Then I started seeing friends. I'm thinking, okay, there got to be some redeeming quality here. My friends came up and they said, he don't call. If he's not with you, he forgets about you. He ain't there. He's not a friend in need or a friend indeed. Family, everybody, they got my mama out there. My mama wanted to say something good. They had her pause. Sarah got up there. Did he love you like Christ loved the church? No. Got my kids up there. Did he ever just lead you in anger and treat you in anger? Is he a good daddy? Did he always do what was right before you? No. And they got my mama up there and she said, I want to say something. I said, ma'am, listen. You get to say something according to this criteria. Did he break the law? Did he keep the law of God? Did he fulfill the glory of God? Did he meet the standard of God's perfection and expectation? And she tried to say something good. He said, ma'am, I'm going to ask you one question. I want you to answer yes or no right now. The law says, honor your father and your mother. Did he always honor you? In tears, he said, no. He said, we've heard enough. It's time to take the vote. We're going to vote now on whether this person's worthy. And it wasn't even just those folks. There's people voting proxy, saying, if he's worthy, then my brother who didn't make it in, he should have been worthy too, because this man was as surely as foul as that man. If you're going to redeem him but condemn him, you're going to have to apologize to all those people you sent to the bad place. And there was a shout, and they were just going. They said, calm down, we're going to vote. We're going to vote now. And they began to vote. You ever see, we ever watch Congress where they're taking a vote on a bill and they'll have the nays and the yays? Well, they started voting, and every time they pushed the button, you know, they pushed the button to record the vote so you could see it. And there was a screen there. And they started hitting. They started voting. All of a sudden, you see the nays. 100, 2, 3, 400,000, 10,000, hundreds of thousands, million, 10 million, hundreds of millions. All nay. Not one yay. Not one. Hundreds of millions of nays registered. They even put it to me. What say you? Are you worthy to enter this place based on the criteria? And they gave me an opportunity to vote. And how do you think I had to vote? Nay. Not one yay. Millions of reasons why I was unworthy to enter that place. Before they hit the gavel to make it official, the Father looked at his right hand, and there his Son was, the Lamb of God. And the Lamb of God stood up and said, I died for him. He put his faith in me. He's one of mine. Yay. And you know what happened after that? After that, the Father in heaven at his throne hit his gavel down. And he declared with all the authority of heaven and earth, the yays have it. He comes in. Because ain't no vote in heaven counts but the Lamb of God. That's it. It don't matter if everyone's against you. It don't matter if you don't deserve it. You know you don't deserve it. They know you don't deserve it. You know you blew it. They know that you blew it. But he said, if you put your faith in me, I'll give you everlasting life. He dies for our sins. He's the only reason we get there. His vote's the only one that counts. And just so you know that I'm not just preaching dreams and visions, listen to the word. Romans chapter 8. Verse 31 through 39 says this. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. I'm going to pause, because see, that's how it actually happens. Everything in this world is there to condemn you. Everything, every action, everything that's been written in the books about you condemns you. I didn't even talk about in that courtroom in my mind how the angels were there to testify about how God would have won the victory at every point in my life, but how I threw in the towel and I sabotaged it. They were there to testify. I didn't tell you about how Satan was sitting in the corner laughing. Is he worthy? Is he going to make it? Please, please. Trying to sit there and think that I was one of his. I used to be one of his. And see, he has a hard time believing that anybody comes out of his camp into God's camp. But I'm going to tell you, the one who sat at the right hand, he sits, listen to the word, even who he died for me, he rose from the dead, he's at the right hand of God and he intercedes for us. You know what intercession means? When everybody else says no, condemn, nay, he stands up and says, yay, he's coming in. That's intercession. He stood in the gap for me. Y'all get that? He stood in the gap for you. You put your faith in Christ, he stood in the gap for you. The one whose vote counts says yea to all who believe. Listen to the rest of this passage. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to go back to this last part. It says, of the things that cannot separate us from the love of God, any created thing. Any created thing. You know, all those who voted against me were all created things. Who's the only uncreated? The Lord our God, right? We know Him. And we know there's one God. He's revealed Himself as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Spirit. Not created. Any create, no, there ain't no created thing whose vote can count more than the uncreated, ever-living Lamb of God who died for us. Do y'all get that? Do you see the picture? What we're going to do today, because we're going to have baptism. Baptism is a time when folks are coming up and saying, hey, I've put my life in Christ's hands. I've believed in Jesus. They're not getting baptized to be saved. Everybody being baptized today has already committed their life to Christ and been saved. You understand? They're just testifying to the fact that they've been saved. That's what they're doing. And can I tell you something? On that day when they stand, in that place where I pictured myself standing, even if millions are nay, that one yay is all that counts. You understand? The yays have it. Now, what do you think happened after all those people lost their vote? What would have happened if it was an earthly Congress or an earthly court and everybody voted one way and they didn't get their way? How would people respond? Huh? Can you believe that? Millions of nays. That guy's not worthy to come in here. Man. That's how we do on earth. That's how it is in this world of division and sin and fallenness. But can I tell you, in the picture that I had, after the Lamb of God stands up and says, yay, everybody who voted, even though all they voted nay, they all began to celebrate. You know why? Because every one of those stood right there where I was. And every one of those only got in there because of that one yay. There wasn't anybody in there got in there because they was holy, because they was pure, because they were bold in evangelism, bold in church, bold in the word, bold in speech. They got in there because the Lamb of God died for their sins. That's the only reason they got in. And so when I got in, despite all the nays, they celebrate. Man, they weren't trying to get their way. They were just verifying the truth. I wasn't worthy. But the Lamb of God, His vote counts. And man, they all got in there on that same vote. Man, everybody who goes to heaven, I promise, everybody who goes to heaven knows why they got there. Everybody who goes to heaven, ain't going to be a mystery. You're going to know why you got there. You trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, and He voted yay. You understand? So that's what these folks are going to do right now. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to be that crowd. I didn't even talk about the church folks and what they said, but they was cussing. I didn't even want to say it. Crazy church folks. We're going to be the crowd after the vote. We're going to celebrate. And every time we baptize one of these folks in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, we're going to celebrate, recognizing that somebody has been saved and now they're giving glory to God. Does that make sense? You all know what to do? All right. All right. If you're being baptized today, please come sit in one of these two pews next to the Baptist bucket. To help us celebrate. Listen now, we're not worldly. Everybody's like, they try to think that we're worldly. But you know what? You know what the church hadn't done? Enough, not near enough. We ain't celebrated near enough. The fact that we're on the road to heaven and we still look frowny faced, that's just hard for me to understand. Because I've been to concerts before where I woke up with regret. But still while I was there, had a huge party. How is it that on the road to heaven I can't celebrate and not have any regrets? So we're going to do like what we do at a concert, and we're going to celebrate. So every time, right, now hold, once you get it, hold it for a moment. Wow, that was good. So now listen now. Listen to the instructions. We're going to party responsibly. Sounds like a commercial. What we're going to do is, every time somebody gives their profession of faith, which is just saying their name, my name is, like for me, my name's John, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior, we're going to holler, and we're going to hit them balls around, okay? So, just for a little bit of practice, I'm going to go ahead and give you my profession of faith right now. Now, I've been saved for a minute, but I'm going to tell you, I believe. It's not just I believed once, I believe now. I'm John Michael Goldwater Dewson, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. The balls. Hit the balls around. That's only three. Okay, there they go. All right. After we holler, we get like two hits on all four balls, and then we hold them, and we wait for the next one. We got it? We can do this. Is there a microphone up here besides this one that will die? And I'm going to need a microphone up here besides this one that will die as soon as I plunge into the water.
Me, I'm doing this because God has called me forward. He's the only one that can judge me, and I'm throwing myself on His mercy doing what He said to do. That's why we're here, okay? All right. We're going to start off first. We're going to start off in this. Miss Angel, you're going to be first. You got this. And I'm going to ask that you give your full name, almost like you're giving it for the record, and then you do just like I said. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Okay? And where's Miss Sarah Reed at? There she is. Anyway, I got that. It's just good. Isn't that good? Yeah, that's good. All right.
Go ahead and give that your name and who you are. My name is Angel Jeannie Carter, and I'm a child of God. Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
My name is Shaquita Ford, and Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior.
gonna just so you know, it seems easy right now just to walk up and say, you know, Jesus Christ, my Lord and Savior, and get done. But this, everyone who's being baptized here, we've walked with them through the Scripture. We talked with them. We prayed with them. We showed them what the Bible says about being saved. They've come to make, they accepted Christ. They prayed and said, Lord, ask Jesus to be the Lord. Ask Jesus to forgive their sins. Confess their faith in His death and in His resurrection. I mean, it's not just a quick process. You might say, what about the little ones? Man, they're some of the best ones to watch when they go through there, man. It was all right. I got to tell a story. Because both of these girls said this. Alexa was the first one, though. And just the way it happened and the timing of our meeting. We are going through Romans chapter 10. Verse 9 says this. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. And I said, Alexa, I said to Allie too, they both good. I said, what? Does that sentence end with a question mark or a period? She said, question mark. I said, so what does that mean? She goes, it's an answer, not a question. It's the answer. And I said, that's right. This is our answer. You know, I was thinking she was going to say it's a statement, you know, rather than this. She said, ain't no question mark, because it's the answer. I said, you're right. That is the answer. If you ask this question, how may I be saved? Believe in your heart. Do you believe in your heart? You got faith? If Jesus died for your sins and rose again, are you willing? Are you willing to confess Him as your one Lord and Savior? But that needs to be saved. So that's how it's done. And that's how that is. Jenner Love said, I don't know if there's comparing notes, but Allie said it like just a couple weeks later when we were there. She said, because it's the answer. I was like, you're right. You're right. You're right. This is good stuff. And both their mom and dad were in there with us. It was just good. I just want to give y'all just an insight that it's not just we bring people up there and dunk them. Man, there's been, this is the tip of the iceberg. This is the public portion of what's been going on between them and God in their life. It's good. Okay. Ready?
Look at somebody.
Y'all here? I'm just kidding. You're like, here! Okay, ready? Stop there.
My name is Allie Carolla, and Jesus is my life and Savior.
Say about him, but it just become, you know, we've just become fast friends and brothers in the Lord.
Love seeing what God's been doing in his life. Again, it might seem like an easy statement just to come up and say, my name is such and such, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. But you'd be missing. You'd be missing what God has done in this man's life. We don't got time for all the testimony, but you should ask him someday. You can do it. He can do it. God can do it. Okay? Now, he's going to make his public profession, and we're going to baptize him.
My name is Don Mullen, and Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Not Providence, but the one right there along where the dentist is.
Park and the Reaching Rainbows Nursing Center.
Grace.
And they said, we can't move them. I talked to the nurse. I said, can we move them? Can we do anything? He said, you can't. When we found out on Thursday, by the next Thursday, he was in the presence of God. We had an opportunity. We got there on Thursday, we shared the gospel with him. He believed the Lord and was saved. We came back on Monday. He had gathered up his son, his daughter. Some of the nurses came and other folks came. And what we did is going to be similar to what we're going to do with Chris. We baptized him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but we did it a little bit different. But I'm going to tell you something. It's Jesus the one who saved. Jesus knows the heart. And he's the one who said, Chris, I'm excited about you doing this. So what we're going to do is Chris is going to hold her out here.
My name is David Christopher Camber, and Jesus is my life, and he's my Lord and Savior.
We just didn't have a place to say it or hear it. We heard some of that this past weekend, but I'm going to tell you, he's just good all the time. Don't forget the good days, church. Bad days are surely coming. Not every day is going to be good. Remember the good days. Don't take them for granted. Rejoice when you have a rejoice, because you'll sure have a time to weep. The Bible says, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Today is a rejoicing day. Honor God with your joy in Him. Be well pleased in God today. Y'all ready to do that? That's a great witness for the church. I'm going to ask the ushers if they'll come forward to take the morning offering, and I'm going to sit back in amazement and see how they take up the morning offering. And as they're coming, I'm just going to pray for us. Pray that there's a way. Lord, make a way where there's no way. And Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to take up an offering and to give. Thank you, Lord, for the good days. Help us not to take them for granted or pass over them. Fill us with the joy of being saved, the joy of your salvation. Fill us, Lord, with the fruit of your Spirit, that we might be witnesses unto you everywhere we go. Lord, we love you. We give you all the praise. Thank you for this offering. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you. use the frustration as love passed me by.
Get you walking right with the Lord. Maybe you've never given your life to the Lord, and you're still afraid of what that big old council of witnesses is going to say against you. Maybe you're still afraid of the millions of nays, because you haven't come to fully trust that that one yea wins it all. If that's you, man, do business with God. Do their business with God. He loves you. If you're looking for a church family, if you don't have one, we'd be glad to have you at Christ Community. You can look around and see that we are the pickiest of churches and we only let the most elite in. We're going to have our Bible drill team. If you're part of the Bible drill, would you come up in front of the box? Our Bible drillers are heading to Emmanuel to decimate the competition in Christian love. If you were here the other Wednesday night, you know how good they did and how much work they've put into it. We're very proud of them. Also, there's going to be, are you still, where's Jake? Are you still doing something like judging or something, Jake? Are you involved? And Schmidt, you're involved? Hey, so check this. That's right. We got John, Jake, and
Jingleheimer Schmidt.
That's who's going there to judge from Christ Community Church, Open Products. And remember the Seder meal tonight and all those things, but we're just going to close out in prayer. And y'all, just go out and enjoy the Lord. Man, that's the key, being happy in Jesus because you're saved. Father God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for a good day in your house. And Father, we know it's going to just continue on. At Emmanuel, there's going to be young ones looking at the Word, looking into your Word, studying and digging into the Word. That makes somebody right on to salvation. It holds the truth of how we're saving. So, Father, help them to dig in and find out and to share that witness. But Father, be with us tonight as we celebrate Christ, you, our Messiah, our Lord, in the Passover, and we look at how you've shown yourself in that way. Lord, be with Mitch as he leads us and be with all those who attend that we would come to appreciate how far long ago you planned to save us. Lord, we love you. We're amazed. Lord, as we go, fill us with your Spirit. Church house being filled is good. Fill the church house with people, but better is that when you fill the people in the house with you. And don't take a lot. Use us for your glory and your kingdom. Lord, we love you. Bless all these families who had someone baptized and following the Lord in obedience today. We love you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank y'all for letting me be your pastor. I love y'all. Ready?